Let's go right into prayer this morning. Father, how better of a way for us to come to your feet today than to sing a song such as this that takes our eyes off of the things that may be clouding our vision this morning and places them directly on you. It takes our eyes off of the stuff that we have going on in our minds, the to-do lists, the work that we think we need to accomplish, the conversations that we think we need to have, and it helps us to return our focus to what really matters. Thank you, God, that in the grand scheme of things, and the way in which the world works and the way in which our lives work, we can always come back to you. We can always have a focus change, adjustment to seeking you first and foremost. Because you are worthy, because you are the only one in this world and anything that we can imagine, you are the only one that is worthy of our praise. You are true. You are pure. And because of who you are, God, we are finding that we are more precious than what we think. That you have words to say about who we are, that we are loved, that we are cared for, that we are your children. And I don't know who needed to hear those words today, if it was just me or if it's somebody else in this room, God, but will you speak these words to our heart today to remind us that we are not what we think we are, but we are what we hear from you, that we are loved, that we are your children. And so, God, thank you for that. Thank you for the word of Scripture that reminds us of not only who you are, author of all creation, Lord of heaven and earth, the saving God, and your Son, the Good Shepherd, went to the cross to die for us. And we can receive salvation. Thank you, God, for that. And Lord, as we embrace the life that we live, we ask that you would give us the courage and the strength to live from the refuge that is you. Not from the refuge that is the world, not from the things that we think we need to do, but living from your kingdom, your refuge, God. And when we live from there, we are more than conquerors, as your word tells us. And so, God, give us courage this week as we interact with people. Help us to bear your image with us everywhere we go. In conversation, at work, and at home, in our interactions with people, may we be more than just friends. May we be disciples that walk in your ways in every step that we take. So God, thank you. Thank you for your word and your truth today. As we worship and as we hear your word spoken to us today, may you give us the courage and the strength that we need to learn, but then also to apply it to our lives. We thank you. We love you. And we give you praise. And in Jesus' name, amen. Well, good morning, everybody. Good to see you all here today. I was thinking this morning, I feel as if it has been forever since I've seen you. And maybe you feel not the same about me, but those around you. It's amazing what happens when weather hits and we have to take a break for a little bit. But it's not because we can't handle the weather. It's for everybody's safety, okay? We can handle it. But anyways, if you would be so kind, we have a QR code. You can check into this at any point in time today or later on this morning. But just some things that we want to communicate to you about this week that's coming up that we don't want you to miss out on. First of all, this Wednesday is a big Wednesday. We're having grab-and-go meals on Wednesday at 6 o'clock. So that is kind of the precursor for Hope Kids, Youth Group, Parents Group. So be aware of that. So that's happening at 6 o'clock, and then Hope Kids begins at 6:30, as well as Youth Group. And they're starting off a series. Well, actually, the series started, and it's exciting. So kids, you should be here so that you can learn. And then along with that, the parents group is going to be happening on Wednesday as well. So that will be all taking place from 6 to 6:30. And then 6:30 is when the fun begins, where there's games and activities, and just make sure you're here. You don't want to miss out. And parents, when you drop your kids off, stick around so that you can enjoy the teaching and the opportunity to connect with other parents in the church. Final thing that I want to just pass on to you is that next Sunday, we are going to be having and hosting a meeting for a summer mission trip to Guatemala. And so that's happening next Sunday. We'll do that right here in the sanctuary. If you are at all kind of interested in a summer mission trip, you want to stick around and next Sunday. If you can't make that meeting, let me know. Talk to me. Tell me that you're interested, but you just can't make it. And then we can share some information, see if the timing works and all of that, and then we'll go from there. You got an email, a brief one from me this week about it, and so you can just be reminded about that. So that's all she wrote for announcements. Can you believe that? Wow. With that in mind, we're going to go ahead and dismiss kids for Children's Church. So kids ages 4 to 5th grade are dismissed to meet their leaders in the back and go for their time of Hope Kids. Not Hope Kids, Children's Church. Sometimes they just all bleed together. So 2 weeks ago, we started a new sermon series that is titled A New Day. And I remember that the question that I asked you last time was, what's next? Have you ever had that question asked to you of what's next? And we kind of prefaced it as you've had a really good day. And things that were really exciting, and you just had an amazing day, lots of different activities and things like that. And then somebody said to you, whoever it might have been, what's next? And you're wondering, wait a minute, we just had an amazing day. Why do we need to worry about what is next? But we always are looking ahead at what's next. And we talked about the Israelites and what they were going through in their initial time period after Moses had died. And when Moses died, that caused some leadership concerns and some vacuums that needed to be addressed. And so they were wondering, what's next? Are we going to be able to go where we're supposed to go? Are we going to be able to do what we're supposed to do? And we kind of looked at that as an opportunity for us as a church to begin to think about what is next for us. What's next for you and for me as we look at this next year and where we're going as individuals and as people and churches. And so a new day is coming, and I think that when we think about what God has in store for us, God's up to something. You ever just get that feeling that God is up to something? Not only in your life, but maybe in your family's life, maybe in our church. I definitely believe that God is up to something in our church, and I'm excited about it. And I hope that you are as well. Speaking of which, Here's some things that I want you to think about, okay? This is totally a timeout, okay? We're going to have a coach's chat for just a second, okay? Because I got to go with the theme of timeout. We have areas where if you want to volunteer, we have areas where you can help out. We have areas that you can jump into that don't require a lot of training. They're things that can be done pretty easily. But if you would like to help out, we'd love to get you connected. And so if you have some time on your hands on Sunday mornings, maybe you can come in a little bit early on a Sunday morning. We'd love to point you in the direction that we can use some volunteers. If there's other things that you want to be a part of and you want to help out, let me know. But just because we're kind of entering into the new year doesn't mean that we've got all of our volunteers set. We are always in need of volunteers. So if that's you, chat with me. I would love to get you connected. Okay, that timeout's over. Let's keep on cruising. We have a lengthy passage today, Joshua chapter 2. And this is a unique passage of scripture that talks about a lengthy passage about a lady named Rahab. And so we'll talk about her in just a little bit, but let me just encourage you. If you're not in the habit of bringing your Bibles, bring your Bibles. And if you're not in the habit of having your regular Bible, bring your phone out and use your Bible app. That's totally fine, okay? It's good for us to have our Bibles out here and then. So, Joshua chapter 2, we're reading the entire chapter, so buckle up. We've got a long ways to go. Then Joshua, son of Nun, secretly sent two spies from a certain town. I'm just kidding. You know, that's one of the pastor's nightmares right there, is a word that looks like it has an English swear word in it, but when you pronounce it in Hebrew, it still looks like it has a swear word in it. Anyways, go look over the land, he said, especially Jericho. So they went and entered the house of a prostitute. I have no problem saying that word, but the other one, not so much, named Rahab, and stayed there. So they went and entered the house of a prostitute named Rahab and stayed there. The king of Jericho was told, "Look, some of the Israelites have come here tonight to spy out the land." So the king of Jericho sent this message to Rahab, "Bring out the men who came to you and entered your house, because they have come to spy out the whole land." But the woman had taken the two men and hidden them. She said, "Yes, the men came to me, but I did not know where they had come from. At dusk, when it was time to close the city gate, they left. I don't know which way they went. Go after them quickly. You may catch up to them." But she had taken them up to the roof and hidden them under the stalks of flax she had laid out on the roof. Okay, just so you know, this is going to be one of those 5-cent terms that you're going to just really love. Verse 6 is what is called a parenthetical reference. Everybody say it with me. Parenthetical reference. You know that because there's parentheses. Whew, you just learned something new. Parenthetical reference right there, telling us where she hid the two spies. That was just for you. That was free on your behalf. So verse 7. So the men set out to in pursuit of the spies on the road that leads to the fords of the Jordan. And as soon as the pursuers had gone out, the gate was shut. Before the spies lay down for the night, she went up on the roof and said to them, "I know that the Lord has given you this land and that a great fear of you has fallen on us, so that all who live in this country are melting in fear because of you. We have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to Sihon and Og, the two kings of the Amorites east of the Jordan, whom you completely destroyed. When we heard of it, our hearts melted in fear, and everyone's courage failed because of you. For the Lord your God is God in heaven above and on the earth below. Now then, please swear to me by the Lord that you will show kindness to my family because I have shown kindness to you. Give me a sure sign that you will spare the lives of my father and mother, my brothers and sisters, and all who belong to them, and that you will save us from death. Our lives for your lives, the man assured her. If you don't tell what we are doing, we will treat you kindly and faithfully when the Lord gives us the land. So she let them down by a rope through the window, for the house she lived in was a part of the city wall. She said to them, go to the hills so the pursuers will not find you. Hide yourselves there 3 days until you return, and then go on your way. Now the men had said to her, this oath you made us swear will not be binding on us unless we enter the land. You have tied this scarlet cord, unless when we enter the land, you have tied this scarlet cord in the window through which you let us down. And unless you have brought your father and mother, your brothers and all your family into your house. If any of them go outside your house into the street, their blood will be on their own heads. We will not be responsible. As for those who are in the house with you, their blood will be on our head if a hand is laid on them. But if you tell what we are doing, we will be released from the oath you made us swear. Agreed, she replied. Let it be as you say. So she sent them away and they departed, and she tied the scarlet cord in the window. When they left, they went into the hills and stayed there 3 days until the pursuers had searched all along the road and returned without finding them. Then the two men started back. They went down out of the hills, forded the river, and came to Joshua, son of Nun, and told him everything that had happened to them. They said to Joshua, the Lord has surely given the whole land into our hands. All the people are melting in fear because of us. Whew. There's a lot to cover in there. Some quick thoughts. First of all, Joshua, he leads in pretty typical ways. It was pretty typical that at this point in time, when people were starting to conquer one another, they would send spies into areas and spy things out, see what type of land they're getting into, what type of soldiers, what type of scenarios are going on. This was pretty typical. He doesn't do anything out of the ordinary to check out the land around Jericho. This was pretty common practice. And it actually echoes what happens in Numbers chapter 13 and the story that happens there, where Joshua and his buddy Caleb are a part of the 12 spies that get sent into the land of Canaan. And they come back with not Joshua and Caleb, but the others come back with a pretty unsavory report of, we shouldn't go where Joshua and Caleb were like, yeah, let's go. We can do this because God has given us this land. I'd encourage you, check out Numbers chapter 13 for that story. But Joshua only sent two. Maybe he learned from Noah. He learned from Moses' mistake of sending 12, because 12 people, that's a committee. That's not just a whole lot of people getting in and everybody has a voice, and that causes some dissension, but nobody can agree on what's going on. And so he only sends two. And other than that, Joshua is not really mentioned in this chapter until the very end when the spies come back. Now, that doesn't mean that the spies are doing their thing, but he's leading in a way that is pretty normal and pretty usual. Now, jump from that to the two spies, okay? The two spies and their curious, questionable behavior, they go to a prostitute's house. Now, you could look at the language, and the word for prostitute and innkeeper are very similar. So you could kind of make the guess, well, maybe they didn't do what they think they did. Well, maybe innkeeper was also another term for a brothel. That's another thought that's behind all that. Either way, they go into this person's home who has a questionable past, maybe even a questionable present. does it really have to do with the big picture of the story? Absolutely, it does. But something that I want you to think about is that this is an ideal hiding spot because people are coming and going. They are moving in and out of this particular part of the city, and they're trying to go unnoticed. It just didn't work. They got found out pretty quickly. In fact, the mayor or the king of the town hears about it. Now, this is, could, I mean, depending on who you talk to, this could be an ideal spot. But isn't it just like in the movies? Let's just talk about that real quickly. This kind of just cracks me up because in movies, and you're dealing with unsavory characters, who does the police or the FBI, all those people they're going to unsavory people themselves to find out what's going on in their communities. You know what I'm talking about? Where they go to maybe the drug dealers. I've just got a lot of words today that are kind of unique today, isn't it? They go to other unsavory characters to find out what's going on. And that's part of what's going on here, is that to get the pulse of the community, the king, the mayor of Jericho, is getting the pulse by talking to specific people. But the other thing that is unique about the spies is that they go to this particular place, Rahab's home, partially because there's a way out. Because her home was built into the city walls. Now, we don't have city walls in our communities or in our towns anymore. But back then, when they would build their walls around their community to help fortify them, the inhabitants would build their homes right into the city walls with windows looking out of the walls. This is a perfect spot for these two spies to be. So when they need to make a quick escape, they don't have to go down the block and out the front gates. They can go out the window. And so it helps them out quite a bit. Now, something that we also need to talk about is Rahab's lie. Okay, we've already talked about the king, but let's talk about Rahab for just a second. What do we do with her lie? I mean, the king's men comes to her and says, hey, bring out these two guys that have come to your home. And she's like, yeah, they were here, but they're gone already. I didn't do anything. She totally lies. What do we do with that? Whatever we do with it, we have to realize a couple of things. That Rahab is commended for her faith and other parts of Scripture. Does that mean that we ignore that she told a lie? No. Have we ever told a lie? Do we mess up? Yeah, we do. We'd also maybe think that Rahab tells this lie before her faith is even enacted. How many times have we, before we became followers of Jesus, we did things that when we look back at them now, we're like, wow, I did those things? Probably in Rahab's life, she probably experienced a little bit of that. But, and we could look at it a number of different ways. And I've read enough things over the last couple of weeks about Rahab that we could suggest that it was a white lie that doesn't really matter in the grand scheme of things. And we could look at it a different way. We could look at this was something she did before she became connected to the God of Israel. Either way, what I think we should probably do with that is recognize that she lied, but also recognize that she was commended for her faith later. Now, those are a couple of quick thoughts. Let's dive into a few more other things that I want to spend a little bit more time talking about. Rahab knows what's up. Rahab knows that there is something big going on. If you were to look back at verses 8 through 11, you would understand that she and all the people of Jericho are really concerned about the people of Israel that have come out of Egypt 40 years ago. They have been sitting outside of the river, across the river from Jericho and other areas throughout that land for 40 years. And they, the people of Jericho and Canaan, are just waiting and watching to see what happens. They're concerned. She tells them, basically, look, I get it. God is doing something. God is up to something. We know that he promised this land to you, and we are fearful of all of you. We heard about the exploits in Egypt and the Red Sea. What did they hear? They heard about the 10 plagues, and they heard about the Red Sea being parted and the Israelites walking across dry land. And if that's not enough, when the people of Egypt came after them, they got washed away in the Red Sea, an entire army. If you're a neighboring community, how are you feeling? Not only that, but as Moses is and the Israelites are traveling through another area of the Amorites, they ask for passage to the king called Sion. Okay, that's a fun name, and even Og. Can you imagine if your name was Og? Man, that poor guy. Sion and Og. These two kings, Moses asks, hey, can we pass through your land? We'll stay on the road. We won't go from the right or from the left. We will stay on this road. And if you want to, you could send people out to sell us things like food and water, and we will buy from you, and we will take care of this, but we won't come into your land. Will you just let us pass through? And King Sion says, no way, and rides out to meet them. Well, guess what the Israelites do? Let's go to war. And the entire community of Sion that he's in charge of, which was a lot of communities, completely destroyed. They go down the road, and guess what happens when they encounter King Og? They do the same thing. Hey, can we pass through? And he says, nope. He didn't even reply. He just showed up with his soldiers and was ready to go to battle, completely destroyed. So all of this stuff is going on. And the Israelites have this amazing story of what God is doing. And Rahab and all the people of Jericho see this and they are scared. They are concerned. When are they going to come to our door? Spies precede people. But the point in all this is that God's mighty story of miracles and wondrous works are preceding the Israelites. God has everyone talking. Everyone knows, the entire region is aware that the Israelites are there, and they are not only a formidable group, but the story of God is traveling faster than the people are. And this is not the only case of this. If we were to fast forward to Joshua chapter 9, we would see that the Gibeonites have heard about Egypt, heard about Sion, and Og, and I'm sure that they heard about Jericho. Who doesn't know about, who doesn't, hasn't heard about Jericho and the walls falling down? Everybody is scared. But what I want you to hear is that the story of God and his power and might are going before the Israelites. It was impressive. And the people of the land were fearful. Their heart was melting. But the stories of God were outpacing the Israelites and their journey. Can you think of other times in Scripture where God's story is outpacing the people of God? If we were to look a little bit closely, we would see that there is this type of pattern happening throughout all of Scripture, where the stories of God are outpacing the people of God, meaning that the story of God is going before us. Is your story about God's dynamic, miraculous work in your life outpacing your journey? You better believe it, because God's story always outpaces his people. Your story goes before you for others to hear. But my question for us is, have we ever realized that his story is going before us so that it can be used for his glory? Here's some words of caution. Let's not hold back God's story by not walking in it. The Israelites for 40 years sat and waited. Let's not sit and wait. Let's walk along with God so that his story goes before us. When his story goes before us, miraculous things happen. And I believe that when we allow God's story to go before us, the results are miracles. The results are God's wondrous works that he wants to do in the people that we encounter. Will we be faithful to walk? So be encouraged that your story goes before you, that God's story goes before you as you interact with people and allow God's story to speak. That's one of the things that's unique about this particular story, is that the Israelites, they had just been introduced to that God's story was going before them. And there's a lot that can happen there. So let's let God work. Second thing that I want to talk briefly about is that there's a covenant that takes place between Rahab and the spies. This is one of those, we might call it a quid pro quo type of thing. Those are bad words in politics, right? But it's a status of, if you do something for me, I'll do something for you. And this is a type of covenant. It's a reciprocal relationship where people are doing things for one another, and it's similar to a covenant. And so the idea is, you have shown me kindness, so I'm going to show you kindness. You spared my life, I will spare your life, that type of thing. So basically, Rahab didn't turn the spies in. They were spared, and so the spies were requested to spare Rahab and all of her family. But there's some stipulations. First one is that a scarlet cord has to be hung out of the window, and the whole family has to stay in the house, and everything has to be a secret. Okay, if it's not a secret, then the covenant is broken. But there's some similarities to the story of the Exodus. Think back with me that there was blood. What color is blood? Red. scarlet, right, that is spread on the door frame of the homes. And the families were to stay inside and eat the meal, everybody. And if they went outside, what was going to happen to them when the angel of death came by? There you go. Thank you, John. John did one of those things. Death was to happen. And so that is, there's some similarities there. And then the other thing that is quite interesting is that faith was expressed in both of these scenarios through obedience. The Israelites, in order for them to receive what God had for them, they had to be faithful in their obedience, and Rahab and her family had to be faithful in their obedience for this to happen. And this really is a big deal when we think about the covenantal relationship in this scenario. Lastly, the last thing that I want to talk about is Rahab and our response to her. The world was greatly stacked up against Rahab, if we think about it for just a second. She's a Gentile, meaning that she's not an Israelite. She is a Canaanite, which they were going into the land of Canaan, and basically they were going to be taken care of. That's a polite way to say it. They were going to be removed from their towns, and the people of Israel were going to conquer that land. God was going to give it to them. And to just put it bluntly, that means that the Canaanites are going to die. So strike one, she's a Gentile. Strike two, she's a Canaanite. And strike three, she's a prostitute, in the sense that she is an unsavory character at this point in time. Now, we can make a lot of assumptions about Rahab, her actions, her behavior, and more. But can we offer that Rahab was a broken woman in every way? Just thinking about the lifestyle that we see in her story, we can deduce that she was broken emotionally, physically, and even we can consider at that point in time, spiritually. But aren't we all? At some point in time, before we come to faith in Jesus, we all were broken emotionally, physically, and spiritually. Rahab is not that different from you and I. Rahab is not that different from people that we encounter every single day. Sure, her sins were just labeled right then and there in the pages of Scripture, but they are still just sins, are they not? Things that Jesus died for. And you and I, we have been and maybe currently are broken in many different ways. And the world that we live in is broken in many different ways. And we don't ignore that brokenness. What we want to do is speak truth, speak healing, and bring people into a faith in Jesus to be healed and to be whole. What I want you to catch is this, is that Rahab is not excluded. She's not denied. She's not held at arm's length because of her sins, but she is welcomed. Let's go to the next slide. She is welcomed by the people of Israel. She becomes a part of their family. She becomes a part of an important family tree. And in Matthew chapter 1. This is the genealogy of Jesus. Verse 4. Actually 5. It says that Salmon, the father of Boaz, whose mother was Rahab, same person. Boaz, the father of Obed, whose mother was Ruth. Obed, the father of Jesse, and Jesse, the father of King David. David was the father of Solomon, whose mother had been Uriah's wife. Rahab is in Jesus' family tree. She's not the only unsavory woman in Jesus' family tree. She became part of an important family tree that goes all the way down to Jesus. And in James and in Hebrews chapter 11, Rahab is commended for her faith. Hebrews chapter 11. This is mind-boggling. Verse 30 and 31, it says, by faith the walls of Jericho fell after the people had marched around them for 7 days. By faith the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed, and with those who were obedient. And what more shall I say? And it continues on. There are people that should be mentioned in chapter 11 of Hebrews, but they're not, but a prostitute is. And what do I mean by what am I getting to when I talk about that? What I'm saying is that you and I are a part of a community called the body of Christ. And as a part of the body of Christ, there are people throughout history that we might not agree with their actions, but they are saved by the blood of Jesus because of their faith in Jesus, and they are a part of the family. And we do not have permission to hold anybody back at arm's length from being a part of the family of God because of their story. What we need to do is we need to welcome people, regardless of their past, regardless of their future, in the sense that they will make mistakes just like you and I have. But we do not hold people at arm's length. We welcome them to be a part of the family of God. We welcome them because we don't know what their family tree might have in store. Maybe they will be a part of the family that has the next great evangelist in the world. Maybe they will be commended for their faith and the work that God does through their family. We need to be welcoming. And we need to be willing to interact with people regardless of where they're at. Because Jesus's blood was shed for them. And they need to know about him. Rahab's story. Rahab's story gives us insight into what a new day has in store for people that discover who Jesus is for the very first time. A new day for them. Maybe we need to embrace that story a little bit so that we can be a part of someone else's new day. With that in mind, let's take some time in prayer this morning. pray that we would have eyes that would be open to what God wants to do to rescue Rahab's and our responsibility with it. So let's pray. Father, we don't always know what you're up to. We don't always know how you're going to work. But what we do know is that you are always working. What we do know is that your story is outpacing our own, and it's your story that really matters. So God, will you give us the wisdom that we need to be able to encounter and connect with people, regardless of their story, regardless of what's going on in their world, and show them your son Jesus. And if necessary, use words. God, will you give us the wisdom that we need, that when we encounter a person, that our judgment responses would be turned off, but that we would just show love and compassion and care, not wavering in our faith, not wavering in what we know to be true, and not giving in to the world's demands, but that we would be firm in truth that is your word and bring people along the way and let the Holy Spirit work where the Holy Spirit works. God, will you do that in us? And as a person endures a new day, maybe the first day of their relationship with you, God, will you help us to navigate those waters well? God, thank you for stories such as this that remind us that in the midst of our limited vision, you have a great big story that encompasses generations and encompasses lifestyles that are only known by you, that you want to work out for your kingdom purposes. God, we get to be a part of this grand picture that you work out. And God, I pray that you would give us the courage and the strength that we need so that others might have a new day with you. God, today and this week, will you give us the strength that we need? Will you orchestrate our steps? Will you give us opportunities to show love and compassion? Will you be with us as we go to our appointments, as we go to the and make decisions that we have to make that are huge, that are big? But will you also just challenge us every day to walk in your steps, to trust you even when we have a hard time seeing? And God, may we have the confidence and the courage to step out in faith to whatever it is that you're calling us to. Because God, your ways are worth it, and they are bigger than us, and we're grateful that you lead us. And so God, thank you. We pray all these things in your son's holy name, the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, thanks so much for worshiping with us today. Let's stand and close out our time together with worship.